Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola, Thursdays at 8:40.
Yes, it is exactly 8:40, 20 to 9. Hello, Wendy lady.
Morning, Wendels.
Hello, Darren. Hello, Kerry.
Hello, Auntie Wendy.
We are excited for this morning.
He starts. So, a quick backstory on this. Most of us opened an Edgar's account so that we could have some kind of credit history so that we could eventually get a credit card and then 15 years down the line, maybe we could get a house. So, it was all part of the plan, but now we can't close our accounts. What's up with that?
Many people can't. There's lots of reasons. For one thing, there are many players in the Edgar story. So Edcon went into business rescue. Edcon sold Edgar's to a Durban-based company called Retailability. Accounts management was carved out and given to RCS. That's the company that I deal with about the accounts. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Hollard underwriting the insurance policies, which Edgar's has sold to many of its account holders, and the monthly premiums come off, get added to their monthly accounts. So it is very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. And for many people who just went into a store, especially older account holders, Darren, they like to actually go into stores and do their business with that company via the, you know, face to face. So I'm still getting far too many complaints from people who are just desperate to close their accounts. It's also the thing about what people realized during lockdown when they weren't spending was that there's this monthly service fee that gets added every month, whether they're spending or not, and it was adding up and adding up. It's allowed by the National Credit Act. But there it sits, and all sorts of other service, club fees and things, which I thought, oh, I didn't realize I was paying that. And now, like, now they want out, but so they give the notice of cancellation, and it's taking a while, And meanwhile, these service fees and club fees, insurances, whatever else, all the other extras they've got on there keep mounting. So it seems like they can never get to the finish line because they pay it off, and then, okay, now there's another month that's accrued. Anyway, the latest case is pretty typical. I often hear from the children, sons and daughters of older account holders, and I hear from sometimes the mothers of the very busy execs who haven't got time and energy to handle the closing of their accounts.
Yeah.
I have that all the time. And today's case was from Sion Pata, who wrote to me about his 79-year-old mom's Edgar's drama. And this is so typical. He said she's always maintained an impeccable financial record. At this stage in her life, she shouldn't have to deal with this stress produced by Edgar's. And now the debt collector, she was actually handed over. And what she did was she went into an Edgar's store in January of last year, just before lockdown. Well, not just before, but just before the corona thing happened. It was confirmed by the cashier that handled the transaction. Yes, your account is closed. She was, her daughter and son-in-law were with her, all witnessed fine, but they didn't close it. Carried on harassing her. Eventually, as I said, the debt collectors got involved. You can imagine for an older person that's never put a financial step wrong. It's very, very stressful. I don't think companies actually grasp just what an impact it has on somebody's life, somebody like that. So the doting son tried to sort it out. Got nowhere, and so I took it up and said, what's going on here? Is it not a good idea to close an account in the store? And Regan Adams, CEO of RCS, said yes, she does appear that she did close the account, but it wasn't that instruction didn't reach RCS, which got acquired all the accounts 8 months later in August of last year. So you can see the potential for mess there. The balance was 156 Rand, but the club subscription had not been cancelled and the billing continued. Whether Mrs. Pata cancelled the club subscription as well, but you shouldn't have to do it separately. If you're closing your account, you're closing everything, right? Anyway, long story short, it's been sorted out now. So that harassment is over. But I'm getting too many of these complaints. Still, it should not be this hard to close an account. Yeah. The internal processes are.
Yeah.
So I want to say, in many cases, it's a promise that I'll find hard to keep. But if you're in this situation, you've tried everything and you still, you cannot yep. close this account on behalf of yourself, your child, your mother, your father, yep. please email me and I will do my best. No promises, as I say, but I do have a conduit to the company that handles the accounts right. and I will do my best to help.
If you want to email Wendy on this issue or any issue, you go to her Facebook page. It's Wendy Nola Consumer and the email option is there. So Wendy, now, adulterated honey is an issue. What's up with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it is. You know, I've spoken about this in the past, but what brought this the topic to the fore yeah. was recently the South African bee industry organization, SABIO, hosted an international virtual conference around adulterated honey. They called it a sticky illegal mess, and that it is. And it was great to see speakers and honey experts from all over the world suddenly coming onto the screen and painting the picture. Now, the story for South Africa, and I'm going to have to be quick because this I could go on for about an hour. It's a very complicated thing. But listen to the numbers and let it percolate. Let them percolate. Yeah. So South African beekeepers can only meet half the demand for honey in this country, so 50%. The rest, the other half, has to be imported, and it's being imported mainly from China. So Chinese honey imports trebled from around 2,000 tons in 2011 to 6,000 tons last year. And 60% of that came from China. Mm-hmm. The rest came from Zambia, Poland, Romania, and Uruguay. But if you look at the graph, you know, China is this big spike where most of it's coming from. Now, here's the thing. And that's because it's the cheapest, right?
Yeah.
It's by far the cheapest honey for local bee honey producers to import. But listen to this. An expert, I'm going to leave the names and details out because we haven't got time, but an expert based in Argentina said, honey is only honey if it's the natural interaction between the plant, it's the pollen, and the bee from the animal kingdom. There can be no additions. If you add even a tiny bit of fake honey, sugar syrup, beet syrup, whatever, it is not honey and you can't call it that. And he said there aren't enough bee colonies in China to account for the amount of honey that they're exporting. So you join the dots there, right? And the thing is, if you go to a supermarket and you turn around the honey bottles, normally a 500 gram squeezy, you will see very often product of South Africa and or China and or Uruguay.
And that doesn't help me. I want genuine 100% bona fide honey. Help me, Wendy. The label won't tell you.
And the horrible part is legally they can do that because the idea is honey is very seasonal and suppliers change. So you can't change your label every time you have a bottle of honey. But it means, if you think about it, South Africa and or China, it means there could be no South Africa, could be 100% Chinese honey. And that's the problem. So basically what emerged was a lot of things. Our honey legislation is 20 years out of date. It's very difficult to test. You can't tell by tasting or burning or putting it in water. The adulteration methods have gone way beyond those old wives sort of methods. So don't think you can tell by any of those things. It has to be tested. Most of the honey is being tested, if it is being tested overseas. But the government's not testing, so we can't rely on them. Some retailers are testing. I spoke to Peel's. They use their own hives, a big KZN brand, but they also use other local South Africans, honey beekeepers, and they send it to Germany to be tested. So, but the thing is, if you're buying the real stuff, pure honey, unadulterated honey, you should be expect to pay between 100 and 130 rand for a 500 gram bottle of pure honey.
Anything cheaper than that, it's probably not real.
Well, it's not going to be South African. If you're looking at 65 to 80 rand, they say, Peel says it's not possible all the associated costs to do that in a supermarket. If you're going to the little flea market and somebody's honey is there, if you want to be sure that you're getting South African honey, find a beekeeper in your area and support them, because they can't make much of a living now because they're being undercut by the imported stuff, right?
That's actually the best advice that you've given us. I actually have my own beekeeper up the hill, around the corner from you, Sky Shabalala, and I get half litres at a time, and I'll get those decentals and I'll share those. So absolutely, find your local beekeeper and get their bee. And don't ever forget, bee yourself.
Oh, my.
Darren, Carrie, and Skye.
Oh no. Oh no.
Honey, I'm home.
Oh no.
Honey, I'm home.
Darren, Carrie, and Skye, East Coast Radio.